sadly, turned away from its original intent of being government of by to a mafia. A mafia that no longer you want to support. We need to take our support away from it. That we've been deceived into giving. And instead putting our money, our funds, our hard work and labor toward restoring freedom. So that's what this is all about, to clean up the government that no longer is doing its job and in fact turned upside down from its original intent and purpose. Ready to go? Okay. We need a few more seconds. By the way, just for those I should mention, and a side note, that the IRS, they changed the so-called deadline to file a U.S. individual income tax return, which is really a confession trap form they provide you, from April 15th, which is usually to April 18th. And folks, remember, per the federal tax laws as written by Congress of the United States, okay, which is published in the Internal Revenue Code. This is entire federal tax laws, folks, on paper. All this minutiae, tiny font, okay, gobbledygook. However, in this book, the very last part of definitions, that's the key to solving the mystery of this gobbledygook, that the only people required to file and pay federal income taxes are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and federal workers and contractors because they perform functions of federal public office. So having known that, folks, if you've not gone to our website, you haven't really checked out our website, here it is, folks, freedomlawschool.org. You need to start there and take the 7 steps, okay? At the bottom of the first page, you click down, and the 7 steps are here, outlined here. Make sure you go and click on the start of 7 steps right here, okay, and start your journey to freedom. So I'm told by our technician that we are ready to get started, folks. So with that, let me put the great ownership up here, get positioned properly, so we can start the recording now. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Motahede, the president and founder of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this recording, I will share with you just some of the many victories that myself and Freedom Law School has had against the It's Really Satan, otherwise known as IRS. That three-letter word that brings fear on the hearts of Americans, that, oh my gosh, they're more powerful than FBI and the CIA. They're not to be feared, folks. They're not what you think they are, okay? And I'll show you, because the history of Freedom Law School beating them will be proof of that. First, let's start by going to our website, to freedomlawschool.org. If you have not been here, you need to go here first to restore freedom, and you will never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally and safely, guaranteed. If you want, you can be guaranteed free by Freedom Law School. You go down at the bottom of this page, and you see here how you can take these 7 steps to free yourself of IRS deception, fear, robbery, and slavery, and live free with a lifetime guarantee if that is what you want. You should have taken by now the step 1, step 2, and step 3. If you have not taken these steps, you need to do them in order, folks. First, you need to know that you arm yourself with the law that, based on the U.S. government's official legal websites. No law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. The only ones by law who are required to pay federal income taxes are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and federal workers and contractors. That is it. Know that by studying the step one first. Step two is you want to end filing of income tax forms. That's filing an income tax confession. Form does not protect you, as the major media lies and deceives you into believing. Instead, it gives IRS the power to put the noose around your own neck. That's what they deceive you to do. So you need to know that for yourself first. Step three, if you're not taking it, realize that the IRS is mostly bluff, that the IRS is extremely unlikely to be able to empty your bank account and steal your money if you do not file income tax confession trap forms, okay? And now we're going to go to step four. Take courage from our victories. Paymon, the founder of Freedom Law School, has not filed or paid U.S. income taxes since 1993. The IRS knows of this, but has never attempted to put me in prison. Why? So to get more into this thing, steps, remember, you click on start at seven steps here, and that takes you to seven steps. You scroll down one more time. You scroll down from steps one, two, three, and four. Here it is, okay? Okay, take courage from our victories. You continue to step four. You go to scroll down one more time. And folks, the bottom line is that knowledge is power. When you equip yourself with knowledge and are prepared, the IRS is easy to beat. I have done so, and so can you, my friends. That's the point. You'll see how it is. Iranian kid, who English is his second language, can do this. So you were born here. English is your first language. You should be better than me, folks, okay? Let's go down and talk about this, okay? Freedom Law School victories. Again, the fact is this, folks. This is our biggest victory is just that alone. The fact that I haven't filed and paid any federal income tax since 1993. The IRS has been unable to charge me with the crime at all. Folks, that by itself is big. I never filed in my life tax returns ever except, two exceptions, in 88 and 89 with my ex-wife to reduce her taxes on her tax return, okay? Then I filed in 1993 a 1040 NR as a state citizen, so I thought, to get my $600 it was holding back from the IRS. Other than that, I've never, ever filed and paid even $1 of income tax to the IRS openly. I've been teaching Americans since 1992, openly, that you've been lied to, you've been deceived by the federal government and the major media, that you're not required to file income tax. And IRS knows about me. They have never, ever attempted to put me in prison. Why? I am the only leader of a tax truth freedom group ever, going back to World War II, that has been telling America, stop filing and paying income tax legally, and IRS has never been able to put me in prison or otherwise stop me. That in itself tells you something. It tells you they know that I know the law, and they don't dare to take me before a jury of 12 Americans to have them all agree beyond the reasonable doubt that I'm guilty of not paying my fair share of taxes. They know I'll educate the jury, win, and have them covered to our side, hanging a big victory. You see, and you want to be in my position that they don't want to even charge you with a crime like me. They don't even try to charge me with any kind of a tax crime. And I'll show you folks how you can be as invincible as a happy for the IRS. So that's really the biggest victory of all. Now, there are other videos I'm going to be doing. Each of these victories, I got, gosh, I think about 7 or 8 victories. I lost count, folks. Honestly, I got to put more of them on our website. But I'm going to do a few of them right now. Here we are, March 23rd, 2023. And I will do another session later on, which I will go over those other victories that I put on our website later on. But each of the victories you see below this has a brief description, beyond a heading, description, and a video in which I explain the victory. And you can take courage, folks, of the fact that if this immigrant kid from Iran, who English is his second language, can do it, you, my friend, you that English is your first language, better than mine, with my 30 years plus experience of victories, you certainly can be free. Watch the videos and each of the victories below now. Okay. Now, we're going to come back. I'm going to go over some of these victories right now, one at a time. So that was the introductory video, which was, I think, about 8 minutes long, roughly, which is good, not too long. So I'm going to go over these victories right now, one at a time, okay? We need to take a pause for just a few seconds, folks. And I'm going to start momentarily. I think we got to put there. Yep, here we go. Ready? Hold on, let's put on right now. Let's do, of course. Okay, let's do it. Hello, my friends. I'm Peyman Motahedeh, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will share with you that IRS has known about me, my activities to educate Americans about the deception and the fraud of the IRS going way back to 1994, before I even created Freedom Law School in 1996, by IRS's Criminal Investigation Division Special Agents. So it's not like they don't know about me. They haven't come across Freedom Law School in Paymon. They know about me, and they've been unable to find anything wrong with what I'm doing. So let's go to our website. You've already seen my introduction video to Freedom Law School victories, right? Okay. After that introductory video, which is really the biggest victory of all, the fact that the IRS has not ever tried to put me in jail, is next victory number one. Since 1994, the IRS has been investigating Freedom Law School without success. You go now, open up, if you want to open up the description of it, folks, and really all the description of this all tells it to you very clearly. In 1994, the IRS began investigating Peyman Motahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, which I founded in 1996, as a potential fraudulent tax protester promoter. Wow, that's a big mouthful, isn't it? Potential fraudulent tax protest promoter. Now, you got to get that guy. This guy's promoting tax fraud, right? So they tried. They did look at me. So here it is. After about 18 months of investigation and meetings by their agents of the IRS gave up on that baseless criminal investigations. Yep. And folks, basically for 27 years as of now, 2023, the IRS has almost continuously investigated Paymon and Freedom Law School and still been unable to stop Freedom Law School from exposing the IRS deception and robbery of the American people. So click on the document of proof right here and you see the proof for yourself right here. So that introduction, folks, tells basically what I just read for you again. And these documents, folks, I got from the IRS through a Freedom of Information Act request. Yes. You see, right, folks, this is their own paper they had on me. Okay. Page after page, I'm going to go over a few of these pages right now for you. On first page, on the top center, highlighted area says case history worksheet. On the top right, Agent Paul Von Ravensburg. On top left, taxpayer Motahedi Paymon, my address in Tustin, California. You go below, at the bottom of this page, you see on the bottom left date. It says 6-94 and 9-94. So that was sometime in early 1994. I'm guessing it's around April or May. But look at the right side. You got to pay attention, okay? Because this whole thing is record of completed appointments / contacts. On the very right column, it says, what did you do? On that column, the agents, folks, in that column, the agents, the IRS, write the date, okay, and what they did. And if they had other agents or people they met with, they list that. So as a whoever worked with them, they list that. So maybe we should talk to the other guy for more information. So you look at this sheet right here. You see 694, contact code doesn't there. Other name, nothing. It says RECD, received, R-E-C-R-E-V-D. Case from NGR, manager. Next one, same, you know, 994 says, Sue Gary CID highlighted. That's Criminal Investigation Division. Her number above that is 714-649-4064 at that time. On the right of that, again in yellow, says developed and referred potential fraudulent PX for tax protester promoter. Okay. Develop a referral for potential, offsets, potential fraudulent tax protest promoter. This is their note, folks. See, I didn't come up with it. There it is. As a potential fraudulent tax protest promoter, you go to the next page, more entries on this thing. Okay. And again, look at the highlighted areas. Okay. I have this first line there. Let's go to the following highlighted areas. Sue Gary CID, that's Criminal Investigation Division. Go below that. On June 27, 94, D. Rodriguez, CID, see them in, with another Criminal Investigation Division. Another one, 7794, and Tran, whatever thing, also CID. Again, 9994, you see Sue Gary, which is also Criminal Investigation Division agent, as you see. See, 112294, Sue Gary. 112994, Sue Gary. She is a Criminal Investigation Division special agent. Next one, 112994, Jose Martinez, CID. Bottom of that page, okay, you see more highlighted, you know, same thing, F-2797, fraud referral. See that? 794, fraud referral, okay? On the right-hand side, it says fraud referral to NGR manager with attachments. Okay. Folks, they were serious. And this is, you know, many months looking at me for fraud, right? So let's continue on this thing. Here we go again. You see in the top of the, this page, December 1594, Jose Martinez, who is another Criminal Investigation Division agent. And then you see September 2194. Okay. Again, you see on the second line, CID. Okay. So, folks, we know this case went on until, you see, about September of 95. Okay. Really, this is about a year and a half. About a year and a half. A virus, Criminal Investigation Division special agents looking at me, can't find nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Okay, so and further more below that, you see another sheet on me called Tax Protester Case Control Record, Paymon Mutahede, right? Below that, folks, these are flyers that I used to put out there at meetings, at Freedom Patriot meetings. about IRS deception. This is a flyer I used to put out. Is this how you go through life? Don't file your income tax until you read this book. There's a book called Vultures and Eagles Clothing with Lynn Meredith, who unfortunately didn't listen to me. She made many mistakes. Her ego gone away and went to prison. Sorry, I try to help people, but if they don't listen to me, I cannot make him drink the water. On the bottom left, you see a cartoon. They're stealing your country. Take it back. This is all political free speech, folks. That's not literature to educate our fellow Americans. Completely First Amendment. Okay? But these crooks that think I'm breaking the law, right? No, it's all completely legal. So below that, here's another more information about this book. I was promoting back in 1994 when I was new. Okay, here's another page. Boy, these cartoons are wonderful, folks. Okay, especially bottom two. Thank you, IRS, for saving this file because I lost those flyers. Those two bottom cartoons, you see on my website now. I've colorized them and use them to educate American people. They got my flyers, okay? So check them out, folks. Me, Bob, these are fun to read, these flyers. You may want to enlarge them and read them slowly for yourself. Here it is, the one of them. The real reason why keep up income taxes, they've been programmed to by the IRS, TV news broadcasters, and charismatic preachers with fear, shock, anxiety, stress, panic, adoration, relaxation, fatigue. They just tell you, pay your taxes. So, folks, hey, that was 1994. Right now, it's 2023, 29 years. I'm free as a bird on the criminal investigation. By the way, criminal investigations of me, which I'll tell you in my other victories. So with that, folks, you are on your way to freedom. If I can do it, so can you. Watch the next victory now. Okay. The next one now. All right, let's close this one up. Okay. Okay. So I'm almost ready to go to the next victory, number two. Okay. Ready to get started, folks? Here we are. Let's have some fun. But remember, after this recording, I will answer any and all of your IRS or state tax freedom questions at no charge. Okay, so hang in there. I will get your questions, my friend. Please be patient while I do some recording for you. Okay, let me get it straight. Good. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Montahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will cover another victory of Freedom Law School myself against the IRS. Let's go to our Freedom Law School victory page against the IRS, victory number two. No one else, folks, has ever done this to the IRS. No one. You will not find anybody else who had this kind of victory against the IRS. What is it? Freedom Law School forces the IRS to take back its criminal investigation division summons for records about Freedom Law School. Yep. So let's go take a look at this. Let's open up the details about this, which I'll tell you what it is. And of course, you see a documentation in it. I'll bring up for you as well. Freedom Law School's 2006 Health and Freedom Conference. Okay, folks, I used to put on from 1999 to 2012 in California every year some kind of a freedom rally or conference to educate Americans about the loss of our rights and freedoms and the IRS, which hundreds of people would show up to. So IRS decided to spy on me and our people, right? And I beat them at it. Watch, okay? On April 11, 2006, IRS issued the Criminal Investigation Division, CID, summons to the Atrium Hotel where the conference was held. Yep. And you see, the summons demanded that the hotel turn over records about Freedom Law School and the attendees and participants of a conference. Folks, that is a wholesale violation of my right and your right to free speech, to associate it with like-minded individuals, to publish material, okay, to assemble together, folks, for the prime purpose of cleaning up the government, our public service, who are there to represent you and me and protect your rights and my rights. Whether or not doing it, we have absolute rights guaranteed by the First Amendment to try to clean it up, okay? And that's why our petitions to Congress are so important, and we encourage all of you to do them in step five, okay? So guess what? I didn't sit back. I went after these crooks to stop them, okay? So let's look at this summons first, okay? Here we go. This is the letter I got from the lawyer of the hotel, George Chung and Associates, okay? You see April 11, 2006, then to me and my wife April, okay, about the IRS summons, okay? And you see it, it says, "Dear gentle persons, we are Council of Golden Hotels Limited, Partnership DBA, Atrium Hotel, the Atrium. The Atrium must serve with a closed summons from the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, dated March 30, 2006, requiring you to turn over various documents relating to you." Okay? So they say they're going to turn our records by April 25th, 2006 to the IRS, and they give us a chance to do something about it. Here is a letter from the lawyer of the hotel. Very nice. And you see, here's the second page of the letter. Okay? And you see the CC, the Kirk Tambornini? That's the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. And Sherry Blackwood is Kirk Tambornini's supervisor. Let's go here now. There it is, folks. This is a summons which was, you know, sent to the HM Hotel. It says in line one, in a matter of Paymon Motayede, Eva Bini Motayede, Freedom Laws to Our Life Free Now. Line two, Internal Revenue Service Division, Criminal Investigation Division. Yep. Industry area, name or number, CID, Criminal Investigation Division. Period. Tax period years, 2000 through 2006. To HM Hotel Custodian of Records. Right? And the description says, in small print, you are hereby summoned and wired to appear before Kirk Tambornini, Special Agent, IRS-CID, and Office of the Internal Revenue Service, to give testimony and bring with you and to produce for examination the following books, records, papers, and other data relating to a tax liability or collection of the tax liability, or for the purpose of inquiring into any offense connected with the administration or enforcement of the Internal Revenue laws concerning the person identified above for the period shown. Scary, huh? Right? They say, we want to put this guy in jail, right? In prison. Let's continue. See attachments. In attachment, of course, they give more detail about what they want, okay? Here you see it. It is a name, a signature, case, special agent, Kirk Tambornini. Again, it tells you in the bottom part, issued on, you know, 20th of March, 2006, by Special Agent Tambornini, okay? And here is for the attachment, the summons issued to HM Hotel for years 2002, 2006, all records relative to dealings with Paymon Motayede, April Beatty / Motayede, Fame Austral, and Live Free Now. Such records to include, but not limited to. Now, folks, let's skip, let's see, one, two of these paragraphs. Go to the following paragraph. They want the name, addresses, and telephone numbers of the promoters, participants, and attendees of the 2006 Health and Fear Conference, method of payment, payment records, credit card information, canceled checks, front and back correspondence with statements, client file maintained by the hotel. Well, they want to know pretty much everything, not just about me and my wife and Fear Law School, but about participants and attendees of the conference. Now, in other words, you attend a First Amendment free speech event to hear what's going on with our government, you're going to be a target. But get your records. I was going to stand up for that. And I went after these guys, and I sued them, as you'll see. Okay? So, folks, the rest of this doesn't matter. Was a bunch of gobbledygook they got here. You know, some copy of federal laws, tax laws, which I knew were already anyhow. Okay? So, let's go down. What happened is, Jim Law School and me sued the U.S. government, with my wife, by the way, withdraw this illegal summons and sued the IRS agent for violating the First Amendment rights of Freedom Law School and the conference attendees and participants. Yep. And folks, here is the lawsuit copy right here. Here it is, folks. Mm-hmm. Here it is, as if it was filed in the United States District Court, Central District of California, by me, my wife, and Freedom Law School, on the top right, August 17th, 2006, right? And you see on the right side, it's a First Amendment petition to quash summons, complaint for injunctive declaratory relief and damages. There was actually another complaint I saw filed earlier, but I improved it. So no need to worry about that one. This is the key document. I sued not just the government, also the agent, special agent of the IRS, in his personal capacity, for his home, for his bank account, for violating the First Amendment rights of me and the conference attendees and participants. Mm-hmm. And so you can read this, folks, in detail. We demand a jury trial. Folks, this is many, many pages long. I'm not going over that in detail, folks. You can read it all for yourself, right? So when I did that, folks, the IRS got scared. Oh, they thought, uh-oh, hey, man, what else is he doing? We don't want to, you know, this is a violation of the law. You know, that we're not trying to, that he caught us, that we're not just trying to examine his tax liability or what laws he might be violating. IRS and Agent Tavolini were violating the First Amendment rights of me and a bunch of other people. Knew they would lose. So they started to back off. See, if you sue them, you force even the IRS to back off, folks. Okay? So here's, we continue, folks. Faced with a losing battle, the government lawyer forced the IRS to withdraw the summons, and the IRS took its marbles and walked home with its heads down, so to speak. Yep. That's right. So you can see the summons that was withdrawn, folks, right here. Okay. Here's the, again, the lawyer of the hotel in September 22, 2006, telling me, writing to me, copy of letter from IRS withdrawing the HM summons for your review and files, right? And here it is, next page, from the IRS, criminal investigation, September 12, 2006. To Mr. George Chong, the attorney of the hotel. Mr. Chong, please be advised that the attached summons is issued to your client, HM Hotel, on March 20, 2006, has been withdrawn. If you have any questions, please contact Kirk Tamarnini, special agents, right? Sincerely, Kirk Tamarnini, right? And again, here's a copy of the summons. This is a good copy of it, by the way. That was issued originally, HM Hotel, custody of records by Special Agent Tamarnini. This is a blank copy, of course, they said, unsigned copy that they backed off of. Okay? Now, What happened after that is interesting. Since the IRS was forced to retract the summons, the government lawyer filed a motion requesting that the court dismiss the case, the lawsuit, since there was no more summons in existence. Yeah, there you go. There's no more summons in existence. There's nothing in controversy. IRS says, we're home. We're going back. There's nothing here. We don't want nothing about Freedom Law School. Amon or his wife, April. They told the court, let's go home, everybody. And the court, of course, told them, yes, no problem. We're going to go. Okay? So here we are. I'm going to show you their motion to dismiss. Here it is, folks. This is the government lawyer filing it on the right side. You see, notice the motion to dismiss the First Amendment petition. And, folks, the relevant language that in which they admit they removed the summons is right here on page 6. Respondent Kirk Tambornini, okay, is the IRS special agent who issued the subject summons on behalf of the United States, right? By letter dated September 12, 2006, the subject administrative summons was withdrawn. A copy of the withdrawal letter is attached as Exhibit A. There it is, folks. Yep. And they attached that letter, which I showed you earlier, as Exhibit A to motion dismiss the case as proof that, look, we are leaving Paymon at Freedom Law School alone. Again, you see here, they attached here, the letter to H&M Hotel, lawyer, Mr. Chuang. You see that on the bottom right? Exhibit A. There it is. And again, you see the summons that was issued to H&M Hotel attached as part of Exhibit A to prove to the court that there's no more controversy here whatsoever. Yep, we're almost done. One more little thing, by the way, if you want to know, okay? So also see the court order acknowledging that the IRS withdrew the IRS's summons. Folks, the court, you know, on page 2, of course, you'll see that. You know, they issued the, here it is, a court order, United States District Court in Central District of California, February 14, 2007. They dismissed the case because there was nothing there for them to adjudicate anymore. On page 2, as you can see, they say the Department of the Treasury has withdrawn the IRS summons. See the Federal Respondent's Motion Exhibit A, which I showed you earlier, okay? So here we go, folks. Again, you can see for yourself that, you know, we forced the IRS to remove the summons. The court order acknowledges it as well. And, folks, one more thing, folks. If you want to read the whole docket of this case, all the docket court entries of this case, it's available online for free, by the way, here it is, as a court listener, has Paymon Multidiverse United States. You know, this case, you know, which was filed April 18, 2006 first, and it was closed February 14, 2007. It shows all the action entries that happened on here. If you want to, you know what, know about it, there's more information on that if you wish. So with that, folks, they still have not been able to stop me. They lost again. Now watch the next victory over the IRS video below. Okay, let's go to our next victory number 3, which is our last victory for this evening. Okay, one more for tonight before I get your questions. By the way, if you have any questions, I'm going to give the call number out for you guys to call and put you in a list of people with questions in order. The number to call is 657-383-1755. When you call on your telephone keypad, press 1, and that will let me know you have a question, and I'll be taking your questions one person at a time. Again, the number is 657-383-1755. And on the telephone keypad, please press 1, and I will know you have a question, and I will answer questions in turn. Okay, with that, We're going to go now to our picture number three next, and then get your questions, okay? Here we go. Let's see. Let's hold on a second. Let me get, I think we have this ready to go. Yep. Here we go. One more time. Okay. Let me get the book ready, guys. Ready? Let me see. You guys get this right? Here we go. Good. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will share with you the third victory that I've had over the IRS. If you are there, you see that Freedom Law School beats the IRS in a 13-year, 663,000 tax case. Yes, that's a big one. A lot of money, a lot of years, yet these guys lost. How it happened? Here is the story, my friends. In December 2009, the IRS filed 13 years of tax liens totaling over $663,000 against Peyman, the president and founder of Freedom Law School, for operating Freedom Law School. Well, folks, requested a collection due process hearing challenging the IRS's tax liens and asking the IRS to prove that Peyman owes these arbitrary bogus tax assessments. Well, no surprise, the IRS ignored Peyman's arguments, erroneously ruled against the Freedom Law School, and issued a notice of determination against me. So I petitioned United States Tax Court, appealed the case there, where the IRS attorney agreed on his own initiative to send Freedom Law School's case back to the IRS Appeals Office so that I could challenge the arbitrary $663,000 that the IRS claimed I owed them. Okay? See, the first IRS Appeals Officer I met with said, "You can't challenge it. I'm here just to collect. Like payment arrangements." Before that, I met with the agent John Black as manager who came up with these bogus liens. Tell him, "This is a bunch of bogus. You can't do this nonsense, you know?" And they just wouldn't budge. So, nope, you have to file a tax returns to tell us what the correct amount is. I said, "BS. I'm going to go over your head, higher levels." And I did, right? So then I argued my case with the IRS Appeals Office orally and in writing, and this resulted at the end of 2011 in the IRS Appeals Officer issuing a supplemental notice of determination, which withdrew all the $663,000 plus of tax liens filed against me. Yep. And notice of determination stated it has been determined that the tax assessments should be abated, and the notice of federal tax lien withdrawn. Yep. To see the proof, folks, you can click on this notice of supplemental notice of determination. I will take you to first part. Before that, folks, this is the actual what they filed against me. Yep. In the beginning of the whole thing, we have the IRS file these 30 years of tax liens. Click on that. Here it is, folks. It was sent against me, Peyman Motahede, on the top left area, on the top right, December 22, 2009. The top center, notice of tax lien filing and your right to a hearing. Folks, you got to challenge these guys like I did. I challenged them. I asked for my hearing as provided by law. Accountants, CPAs, they're ignorant. They don't know how to ask for a hearing or how to conduct a challenge to the IRS, right? That's what they lose, okay? Here it is, folks. Look at the tax periods. Every one of those lines is a different quarterly tax period, starting in 1997. Okay, tax type of tax, pure tax, amount owed. Page after page is a notice of federal tax lien. Here it is, folks, on this page. It's about, on the total on the bottom right, $99,000 of taxes listed, filed against me, against in county recorders of San Bernardino County, okay? And look at this, another letter. There were so many liens, folks, that had to issue multiple of these letters like this and give me a chance to ask for hearing. Here's another one. Here's yet another notice of total tax lien on this page. Adds up to over $200,000 of taxes. Here's another certified mail notice for tax and filing and your right to hearing, right? And this one is all, well, now we're up to 2004 now, taxpayers. Oh, 2004. And here's a notice of tax lien again. You see that? The total tax that they claim I owe here is now about $100,000. Here's another one, folks. Okay, here we go. And this one, these all the liens are $167,000. We're not done, folks. Another one, another page. This one is for $4,200. Folks, page after page, line after line of liens that file. Okay, and think with the IRS. We can do what we want. What you going to do about it? They think they're so powerful, right? Now, let's continue. So, here we go, folks, the supplemental notice of determination when the IRS appeals officer removed all the tax liens is here. The documentation for that is here. On the top left, you see IRS appeals office in Riverside. On the top right, person to contact, W. Robeson, employee numbers right there. On the right, go down. Look at the taxpayers issue listed here. Okay? Look at that. From March 03, 1997 to December 12, 2008. All these tax periods, folks, they were at issue here. Here's a supplemental notice of determination. Dear Mr. Motete, right? Let's go to the second page. I will see the summary of the determination. It has been determined that the tax assessments should be abated and the notice of federal tax paid should be withdrawn. Sincerely, Mary Nicholas, appeals team manager, who is a supervisor of the appeals officer, which I talked to and wrote about, and CCR's associate area council. His name was Kevin Coy, a nice guy. I met him one time. Okay. You run by the lawyers to make sure it's right. Okay. You know, they don't do these things, you know, without talking to the lawyers, right? But they backed off anyways, as you can see. Okay. Now you can read the whole thing, folks, the document on your own. All these taxes were listed. All these quarterly taxes were just withdrawn. Boom. Paid after pages of them. They said everything. The IRS did everything wrong. You can read that for yourself if you want, folks. Okay. The document is there for you to check out if you wish. And further, the IRS officially withdrew the $663,000 of tax liens against me in law school. And the IRS appeals officer confirmed that the IRS had withdrawn all tax liens against me. Yep. Folks, I'm going to go with these more documents really quickly. Here it is, folks. This is a withdrawal of filed notice of fraud tax lien. On the center left, name of taxpayer, Paymon Motede. You know that? You see the taxpayer ending, everything. Here's $99,000 again on this page, all withdrawn. Yep. And again, you see here's another blank space. Another blank space of garbage, but you left it just so you see where it is. Here it is, folks. This page says what? That, dear Paymon Motete, the Internal Revenue Service previously filed a notice of federal tax lien against your property. This notice is being drawn under the provisions of the Internal Revenue Code, Section 6323J, enclosed is a copy of Form 10916C, withdrawal of file notice of our tax lien have been mailed to the local recording office for filing, right? You may present the form to any credit reporting agency, a national institution, or other creditor you deem appropriate. Now, folks, this letter was sent multiple of all these folks. Multiple withdrawal notice of federal tax lien was issued, right? So it's 200,000. And multiple of these same documents, these letters, cover letters, like this cover letter, again, all of them were issued. Here's another page. Withdrawal of final bills to federal tax lien, this month four, around 88,000. Here we go. And here's another one, another cover letter that they sent to me, right? And again, you see another withdrawal. I'll file notice of federal tax lien, this one for $167,000. And then you see again another one here. Again, they sent another cover letter. And below that, again, you see another withdrawal. I'll file notice of federal tax lien for $4,200. Okay. And here is another letter from the IRS folks. Okay. Dear Mr. Motayade, okay. This letter is in response to your application for withdrawal of notice of federal tax lien with the IRS serial number so-and-so. Your application has been approved. Forms 10-9-6 withdrawal of notice of federal tax lien are being sent to local recording office where the original notices of federal tax lien were filed. Okay? Guess what, folks? Patient, folks. Okay? I beat them. That's the difference. They say, begging them, please. Take it off. Oh, you're hurting me. No. I didn't beg them. I went after them and beat them. IRS agent who did it, he ruled against me with his manager. The first IRS appeals officer I met would rule against me. Went to tax court. Tax court, the lawyer sent it back. The IRS appeals officer had to rule against the IRS, right? There's no, you know, application, you know? They make themselves sound so good. Okay, and then, folks, here it is, folks. In November 2012, the tax court officially zeroed out all of the 663,000 of IRS bogus tax liens to zero on November 13, 2012. Here it is, folks. This is from the United States Tax Court. You can look it up, folks. Docket number 12440-10SL. It's all there. Order and decision. Yep. Read it. Here's a relevant part, folks, for yourself. Signed by Robert and Armand Jr., special trial judge. Okay? On November 13th, 2012. Okay? And here it is. By certified mail. It was mailed to me, folks, by the United States Tax Court. The copy of the court order, and we're going to read as relevant language. Ordered and decided that the tax assessments, 49 specified calendar quarters for employment taxes, so-called 931 taxes at issue herein, and for all 12 specified calendar years for unemployment taxes, so-called 940 taxes at issue herein, are to be abated. And that means removed, zeroed out. That's what abated means. Okay, abated, removed. And the notice of federal tax lien in respect of such taxes is to be withdrawn. Yep, court order also went behind it off. So, folks, it felt like IRS doesn't know about me. They know about me. They keep trying to mess with me to get me this pay. Or that way, but guess what? If they may do it, they give me a chance to beat them again. So now, folks, you can go down and see a next victory of the IRS victory number four below. Okay. All right, folks. We're going to now go to your questions. We have three people with questions. Let's put the call number on the screen one more time. We have three callers right now. One from area code. Let me see. It's a little hard to see. 669-484 and 949. So I'll tell you guys those questions one at a time. Area code 669. Let me write them all down, folks. 484 and 949. Again, if you want to go on the list to ask questions, the number to call is 657-383-1755. And on your telephone pad, press 1. That will let me know you have a question. I'll take your question after these three people who are waiting. Okay, from area code 669, my friend, to protect your privacy, all of you, do not give me your last name. Only give me your first name so I can call you by your name. Tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then proceed to ask your question. You can turn me down a little bit, please. Call from America 669. You are first.
Hey, Paymon. Great to be here. My name is Dylan, and I heard about you and your whole company from David Rodriguez from the Santa Cruz Voluntarius.
Great. You say your name is Dylan, right?
Yes.
Dylan, and how may I help you, my friend?
I'm in the process of moving from Idaho to Colorado, and I'm starting a business. Would it be better for me to create my LLC in Idaho or Colorado?
Neither. The best limited liability companies to form your business to maximize your privacy and reduce cost are New Mexico or Wyoming limited liability company. The worst ones are from communist states like California and New York, who are not that. They want, you know, who owns it, you know, annual reports, how much you make, everything, and tax you. New Mexico and Wyoming LLCs, the state never asks who is the owner of the LLC. They never ask you for any annual reports or fees. Now, the many states want you to pay them a fee, not New Mexico or Wyoming. So no cost. Year after year, only first initial formation cost. That's it. They never ask you for any information whatsoever. You can transfer it to somebody else like cash. If it's in my pocket, it's mine. If it's your pocket, it's yours. You give it to him, his. You could do that if you want to. And then that New Mexico LLC or Wyoming can operate anywhere on earth as an entity, Amazon or Microsoft or Citicorp. Okay, it's a legal person formed in those states, and you can have that business be headquartered and operate out of a state that does not even claim to have a state income tax like Florida or Texas or Tennessee. Okay, and that way, guess what? You can simply avoid any hassle with any state income tax agencies as well. Will that help you?
Do I need to be a resident of New Mexico to start an LLC in New Mexico?
Nope. All you have to do, good question, is you need to have a resident agent within the state of Mexico whose job is, instead of you being in there, they're in there, in case anybody wants to sue the LLC, they can serve the lawsuit to the resident agent whose job is to give a lawsuit to you or whoever is a responsible person at the LLC to do whatever legally is proper and appropriate to defend the LLC from the lawsuit. And you pay that. Resident agents typically charge maybe $100 to $200 a year just to sit there, nothing, but legally serve the purpose of somebody, the company, being able to be legally served in case of a lawsuit against the LLC comes up. Okay?
Okay. How do I get a residence agent?
You can go online, and the many companies that provide services for doing that. Okay. I don't do that myself. That's not my job. If you become one of our students, for example, I can refer you to organizations that do that stuff, do it right. You can go with them. You go with some people you find online. You know, the people that I refer are better, I think, for many reasons, but you can go look online. You know, Mexico LLCs or Wyoming LLCs, who does it? You find tons of people that advertise themselves. They want your money, okay? To help you with that process, not a problem. Anything else?
Right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're most welcome, Dylan. Let's go to our next caller from area code 484. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Good evening, Paymon. This is Dino, and I heard about you from the Stu Peters Show.
Very good. From Stu Peters. I'm sorry, could you say your first name louder, please?
Dino.
Dino, okay. Great, Dino. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a viewer of Stu Peters. We love Stu Peters. He does a great job of telling people the truth. So what is on your mind tonight, my friend?
From my retirement fund back in 2020, and I was misinformed from my retirement company about owing income tax. I thought I had...
I'm sorry, that was a 401k IRA. I missed that. Would you repeat that, please?
Oh, 401k.
What kind of retirement account was it? I'm sorry?
401k.
Okay, got it. How much?
I took out $30,000.
Okay.
And they also said, you know, obviously I knew I was responsible for the tax, but because it was during the CARES Act back in 2020, I wasn't going to get smacked with the penalty, but I knew that I was still going to be taxed on it because it wasn't pre-tax. So they took out an additional $3,400 for the tax. And I had double-checked with a few different people to make sure that that was all that I was going to be responsible for. And they said yes, so I went ahead and did it. And then 2 years later, I started getting letters from the IRS about income tax, which blindsided me. I didn't know I was going to owe that. And that's what made me want to reach out to you today and find out, am I going to be responsible for paying that, or is there a way to follow the law and find a way to use the law and the way it's been written and not have to pay that?
Well, here's a key question. For 2020, did you file a 1040 income tax confession trap form misnamed a tax return with the IRS?
In 2020, no, because I didn't know that I would owe income tax. So, no, I didn't even – and at the time, too, the accountants were – they won't even let you in to see them in that year, so – no, I did not file a 1040 that year, no.
Well, great. Good. Good. Now, the letter you got from the IRS, was it sent to you by certified mail or first class only?
I believe just first class.
Okay.
Not certified.
Does it include any numbers of what claim you owe?
On page one, it will say proposed amount due. It also says we're proposing changes to your 2020 form 1040 tax return. This is not a bill.
Even though you did not file, they claim that you filed a tax return. Is that devious of them? You owe them zero on that money, my friend. Period. Okay? And these letters by first class legally mean zero, a big fat zero. If they want to come after you by law, they must send you a letter called a notice of deficiency by certified mail, which gives you the opportunity to challenge the IRS in the U.S. tax court. And you have only 28 tax court judges, 28, for America, which has over 339 million Americans. The IRS will possibly never issue you a notice of deficiency, but they might. I can't tell you guaranteed they won't, but they may. But they don't oftentimes because they don't want to overwhelm and destroy their own judges. They can only handle so much humanly possible. Okay, you have a right to due process of law in America, a right that most countries of the world, you don't have. Most countries on earth, like Iran where I came from, North Korea, the Banana Republic of South America, much of the world, you have no such rights. They just take your stuff without no trial. You have a right to a trial. The amount is determined to be owned by you. You challenge them. So at this point, you own them zero. What you want to do, my friend, is this. For 2021, have you filed yet or not? Or 22?
22, yeah.
How about you filed for 22 already?
Yes, yeah.
And for 21?
Yeah. I just started listening within the middle of last week, and I had already filed. I had filed about a week ago.
Gotcha.
So I'm late to the game.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. In fact, the reason I came after you, because IRS officially left real consistent non-filers like me alone, and they only come after once in a while people like you. But, you know, he's an example of the people talk about on their charts, okay? That if you file 1 year and not another, you ask for a refund for 2022. Before they give you a refund, they look at your file and say, oh, wait a minute. For 20, I think he might owe us a few thousand. Let's make sure we come after him so he can offset what we owe him, you know, for refund from what he would have owed us from 2020. So that's where they're coming after you for that. You can still beat them, okay, but not even so easy and simple, okay? It's not a huge amount, fortunately, but I want to invite you to consider joining our Restore Freedom Plan because from here forward, here we are, March 2023, we can keep you free of the IRS. Easy and simple and inexpensive. And for this pre-existing problem you got, I can help you. There'll be a pre-existing charge for that small. It's a small case, maybe nothing. But, you know, now that you got this situation, it's kind of like a little dirty thing. I got to get in there and see what can be done. There may be no extra charge at all, but I hope so, because the IRS simply may leave you alone on that. But I cannot guarantee that. Okay?
Yes, sir. No, understood. Now, one last thing I have is because I started getting the letters, like I said before, I started listening in to your videos and following you. I was speaking with my CPA at the time, and we may have filed, I forget what form it was. I don't think it was a 1040, but I have to check. But if I did sign something this past year regarding it, I may be trapped. I have to backtrack and look at what I filled out for my CPA this year regarding that, but I don't think it was a 1040. But I would have to – but, yeah, I do – even with that being said, it would still make sense to join to see what you can do.
Mm-hmm. But your CPA could not file a tax return for you unless you've authorized them to do so. Have you in the past authorized them to automatically file tax returns for you with the IRS?
Not regarding this situation, no. In 2020, I did not file income tax for that withdrawal, no.
How about for 21 and 22?
I did file a regular tax return for 21 and 22, but regarding the 401k withdrawal, I did not report it because in 20, I didn't know that I was going to owe income tax, so I didn't report it.
Well, I need to really see your paperwork to get more detail. You got a little bit more complex case, which I cannot give you full, complete answers and with confidence without seeing your paperwork. So let me suggest you consider doing a private consultation with me, 1 hour with me alone, or half hour with one of my experienced, knowledgeable researchers, and then half hour would be to finish it off, cost you less that way. Try that, because, you know, you got so much going on here. I got to clarify, look at the documents, talk to you. Yeah, I can give you a better strategy. And then that could be credited toward your membership in Restore Freedom Plan and plan should you choose to join. Okay?
That sounds like a plan.
Okay. All right, my friend.
So thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome, brother. Thank you, Dina, for calling us. Thank you for being awake, watching Stu Peters. Folks, if you haven't watched Stu Peters, go watch him. He's on Rumble, BitChute, many other platforms like Dino. And thank you. When you see our, you know, our ad on this show, be smart enough to say, I'm going to look into this and do that and tell your friends about us, my friend. Thank you for calling, Dino. We have another caller now from area code 949. And before we get to his question, let's put the call number one more time on the screen. Let's see. The number is 657-383-1755 to get your question answered. On your telephone keypad, press 1. That really, I know you have a question. Press 1. The number to dial is, again, 657-383-1755. And on your keypad, press 1. So I'll know you have a question to ask. Okay, from Erica 949 caller, give me your first name, how you heard about it, and then your question, please.
Arthur, can you hear me okay?
Arthur, right?
Yes. And
heard
about,
how did you hear about us?
Yeah, through Dr. Lee Murr, the interview you did with her.
Very good.
Yeah.
And how may
so,
I help you?
So similar to Dino, in 2022, I withdrew basically all of my 401k.
How much?
And it was about $275,000.
Okay.
And the company that was holding the 401k, they withheld automatically what they, you know, I think 20%, so like about 55k of that. So I only got 220,000 of what I withdrew, and so I haven't filed my taxes yet for this year, and that's what I was calling about, is that a couple of things. One is, can I get that 55K back that the investment company withheld for the IRS? Two, do I owe that 10% penalty for early withdrawal because I'm only 45? And then separately, I sold some stocks as well. Had a taxable value of about $9,000, and then I had approximately $5,000 of unemployment that I received that year. So I'm not sure. Again, do I have to pay taxes on any of that?
Well, again, remember we cover this issue at Freedom Law School. On you can go to our homepage at freedomlawschool.org. If you have not seen it, go there. The only people required to file and pay federal income taxes are citizens and residents of the District of Columbia and federal workers and contractors. Okay? So you go there. You need to watch step one. Follow the law. What I just told you is from government's official legal website. Not my opinion. Okay? And the proof is in this 9-minute video that will start you on a journey to live free now, mass deception, robbery, and slavery. Just like the Corona hoax, folks. I know most of you know about the Corona hoax, okay?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But remember, if you were a normie, regular person, brainwashed by the lies, the first time you hear about this stuff about Corona being a fraud and deception, you say, what? Are you kidding? Really? You have to be shown. You have to be proven, right? So This video is there to help you understand that, to be proven that for yourself. And after this 9-minute video, okay, there's more short videos to give you the rest of the story, okay, and more besides the short videos, folks, right here, there's some more complete version of these videos all that you saw, detailed ones also. So no, you don't owe any taxes. You don't owe any penalties at all to the IRS because you never owed them any money to begin with. Are you a citizen or resident of D.C.?
I'm not.
Great.
And I'm not a federal, or I wasn't a federal, I'm not a federal employee or anything like
and
that.
And this income you're talking about is not from federal employment of any kind whatsoever or contracts. So you're home free. As far as getting the money back, I'm sorry. The sad news is that they stole the money already out of your funds. And right. The only way potentially to get it back is to file a tax form with the IRS, a tax request for it back, in which case you open yourself up to more can of worms. IRS coming after you for more money. I mean, you're better off, you know, let them keep what they stole and don't end up owning more, you know.
Right.
No more tax, no more penalties, but they keep what they got, and you get to go on, don't pay any more for 2022 or future years.
Right. And then,
okay.
And then, so, all right, great. That's wonderful. And then, what about like for the, like selling, if I sell the stocks, or from selling the stocks that I have to pay the penalty
Arthur, it doesn't matter. It's not the type of income. It's where the money comes from. Okay, if you're from Germany, you have income from Germany, you have to pay a German income tax. If you're from Japan, you have to pay Japanese income tax. You are not from the District of Columbia. So whether it's your wages, your commissions, stocks, bonds, real estate, crypto, capital gains, short-term, long-term, rental, royalty, X, Y, Z, it doesn't matter. You owe none of it because you are from someplace besides the District of Criminals, known as Washington, D.C. Okay. Now, if you were from D.C., then all these things, the stocks and your 401k withdrawal, all this stuff would have been taxed.
Right.
Okay.
That's wonderful. Is there anything I, other than so? Again, similar to Dino, I just learned about you, and my wife has actually found you on Tumblr, but and I recommended we started listening. But so, is there anything I need to do other than not filing? I'm not going to file my tax return, obviously, for this year. Is there anything else I need to do in preparation or?
Yes. There is. Look at my screen, okay? I'm going to show you what you want to do first, okay? Look, as I say right on the front page, to restore freedom and never again having to voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally and safely guaranteed, there's 7 steps. You go down, and you must take these 7 steps to free yourself of our deception, robbery, fear and slavery, and live free with our lifetime guarantee. The first 5 steps are free. The last 2 steps are optional. So you have 2 options, okay? So you got to study these, okay? So these 7 steps, okay? Arm yourself with the law, number 1. And filing a tax forms, number 2. Step 3, realize IRS is mostly bluff. Step 4, take courage from our victories. Step 5. Write your lawmakers about the law. Confront them about this whole mess. But the law is attached and quoted in your petitions to them. That's very important. Now, all these first 5 steps are absolutely free. You do on your own, but that ain't neither the IRS, and you'll be very, very, very likely just left alone. IRS is imploding. This communist entity is imploding. Just like this former Communist Soviet Union imploded in 1991 when no one expected it. Okay? Powerful, so they seemed. But then from within corruption, they were already just getting destroyed from inside. They're a bunch of idiots in there, folks. Yes, yeah. Idiots in the IRS. They're not competent. They're lazy. They're a bunch of LGBTQ plus, incompetent. They've hired positions, not competent people. Anyhow, so you got to verify what I'm saying for yourself. You cannot take my word for anything. So you got to go through steps, educate yourself. Steps 6 and 7 are optional, okay? You can join Restore Freedom Plan, okay? And you can lawfully stop filing of income tax with a lifetime guarantee. You will not go to prison guaranteed. And IRS will not take anything from your paycheck, bank account, stocks, nothing. Guaranteed. If they take it, somehow we'll reimburse you in full whatever was stolen from you to make you whole. Option available for those of you who want to go that way. Okay? And then step 7 is you spread the word. Tell others they have an option to be free, and you can get paid for each American you set free with our Freedom Option Plan. Yes. Like Dr. Lee Merritt, who promoted us, if you join, half of what you pay for your membership will go to her. Support Dr. Lee Merritt. Thank her. She has to continue her work of spreading the truth and expand her work to tell the truth to American people. That's what you want, right? A win-win thing. That's what step 7 is. But you got to go through all these steps with your wife. Start with those and then call our office. Folks, you can call our office, 813-444-4800. If you have questions, guidance, how to navigate our website, we'd be happy to help you with that. Okay? Do you have a question?
Perfect. Thank you so much for your
You're welcome, Arthur. My pleasure. Do you have any more callers? I think we have one from area code 5. This screen is dark. 586, is it? Let's see. Can you make it a little light for me? I think area code 5 and 6 call we have, right? Yeah. 5 and 6, 3, 5, 4 prefix. Give me your first name. I heard about us. Any question, my friend?
Hello, Payman. My name is Dora, and I have seen you several different times on different platforms, and I'm calling to say bless you for what you're doing and allowing us as humans, as man and woman, to know that we should live in the realm of we are the creditors. We are not debtors, and what is going on is not the way that we were to live divinely. I do have a couple of questions, and I'm just so grateful that I got to watch you tonight. My first question is this. My dad just passed from cancer, and years ago he was a roofer, and he didn't pay taxes, and they caught up with him and scared him to death with like thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. And he asked my advice back then, and I said, maybe you should go talk to an accountant, Dad. And we had a family accountant type person, which, of course, I just heard you say, they don't know what we know, right? And he went and he made an arrangement with the IRS, and they put a lien on his home until he dies. So we, as family members, are now sitting here trying to figure out, since we know, can I get his property back? I mean, is there a way to get his property back and not have that obligation?
Well, there's no exact easy answer, but I'm going to try to give you some answer anyhow.
Okay.
When were those tax liens filed? For how much? In what county is the property located? And were the lien filed? Can you answer me those questions?
Sure. I believe it was $30,000, and it was in Macomb County, Michigan. And the years I'm going to say it was probably like 2013, because like 3 years later, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Okay. Well, first, I'm sorry about your father passing away. He doesn't have to deal with any of these issues. You know, he's in heaven.
He's no longer suffering, and I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. He was back with heaven, back where he came from. And the IRS tax liens generally are good for 10 years. After 10 years, IRS can renew them. But the vast majority of times, they do not renew them. So the tax lien was filed in February 13 or November 13. I don't know. Yeah, look at it. It means that the tax lien could have already been expired already. You know, if it was filed in January or later, maybe the few months left. You just wait. Okay. Until the end of the election, end of this year, maybe a few more months, it'll be all completely gone. A lien is only claim on any real estate you may have, okay, that if you sell or refinance the property, IRS gets paid before you get any money. If you just sit back and do nothing, the lien will simply go away after 10 years.
Fart, because I think my sister may have reached out to him because we couldn't find the original contract of, you know, what he said he would honor within that contract. Wish I would have made this call a week ago. Oh,
don't worry about it. It's okay. Listen. Just because she called the IRS doesn't mean anything, really, because, you know, the IRS is not going to try to sell the house to take it. They won't do that, okay? They're just too overwhelmed to do stuff like that, okay? To take the house, they must take you to court. Give you a chance to defend yourself in the court. So they won't be doing that. You'll be fine, okay? However, you want to go to the county, your recorder's office in your county, in Michigan, and ask for any liens that were filed against your father. You can do that. Hey, my father passed away. In this house here, we want to make sure there's no liens, especially tax liens. It's all public record. Anybody can go there and ask about any liens. It's anyone's property, stranger or your own. You can do that. You have a right to do that.
Okay.
And go find out. You'll see it all right. You know, then you can look at it. If you want, you can get to Freedom Law School. I review on these recordings in the question and answer session up to 10 pages of paperwork for free. Folks, if you have paperwork up to 10 pages, you can send it to Freedom Law School. Let my activists know it's for the Freedom Law School at the Freedom Hour. So they have it before me. I can review it beforehand. So when you call, I can review it and give you some direction at no charge. Otherwise, if you want, I'm available also for private consultations. But from what you sound like, you're in good shape. Don't worry about it. Don't talk to the IRS anymore. But give me whatever has been going on there so I can look at that, and it should be fine. I think this is going to go away without anything, but to be sure, we can let's take a look at it a little bit more closely, okay?
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I was going to ask another question, but if you've got people lined up, I don't want to take some other people.
No, I don't. Actually, the last one. Let's put the call number on the screen, guys, for anybody else has a question. But right now, look at the door. You're the last one. What platforms, I'm curious, have you heard about us before you reached out tonight?
I believe that I had seen you on, it might have been Rumble Channel, or it might have been a YouTube channel. See, because I've been researching the law, okay, because I got myself into a pickle. I went under contract with the local government here to be a foster mother, and then I adopted my cousin's children from the system because I had been in that system in the 70s, and it was awful. And now they're sending me a bill in the mail, well, an invitation to contract with them, okay? It's not coming certified. It's none of those things where they want me to pay for their housing while they warehouse the children in these foster care terrible facilities mental health facilities, et cetera. And I'm talking $60,000 for one child, and, you know, they want me to reimburse them, and I never contracted with them to even have that expense. So I'm, you know, I'm just questioning over here, like, how I should make my moves with this, because it didn't come certified, and, you know, they're garnishing my tax returns, or, you know, the previous ones. I haven't filed in years. And I just, you know, I'm looking at like a $63,000 bill for, you know, the county saying I owe them something, and I've never, like, show me the wedding signature. I've never contracted with you to do anything.
Well, so, I don't know that much about those things, but I know it's not about contracts. Sound like they already paid you for raising your children, and now they're saying, oh, maybe you are not qualified to receive that because you're the relative or something like that. So it's not based upon contract.
No, what they do is this is part of the CPS system and all. So they
I know Child Protective Services. I know that. But listen, if you want, I can help you with that a little bit if you want to, but I need to see paperwork on that. Do that, but let me answer your IRS questions. Any more IRS questions you want to ask me about, by the way, Dora?
No, actually, the only dealings with the IRS are like my father's thing, and, you know, and it all just came all at once. Not necessarily anything else with the IRS.
Okay. Okay. Well, hopefully that was helpful, Dora. And
yes, I do. I appreciate everything you're doing, sir.
You're welcome, Dora. Thank you. Thank you for your support. I love you, and wish you the best. Condolences to you for your father again. Just love your children, love your grandchildren. You know, let's do what we can to educate America, restore freedom for our children and our grandchildren. So I appreciate your support. And if we can help you in any way, just reach out to us again. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye now,
Dora. Okay, folks, one more time, I'll announce the call number. And if there's no more calls, we'll end the recording tonight. Again, the call number, if you have questions, is area code 657-383-1755 on your screen. On your telephone pad, press 1. Let me know you have a question. And I'll take your question now if you have a question. 657-383-1755. Press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have any questions now. Okay, so if you have no more callers, if you have answered those questions, very good. Well, folks, I'm going to congratulate you for looking for freedom. You found the pathway. Remember, it's a famous saying that says, in Bible also, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. Ignorance hurts. But it is also said, seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the key is what? You must seek the truth. Not what's out there on the major media corruption, but the truth that's out there hidden in plain sight. Jim Moskos is the venue, the platform you've been looking for to bring it to you. And I put as much as I can on our website, folks. Okay, at freedomlawschool.org, and the link to our, you know, our Rumble channel, Odyssey channel, and many more information there for education material. There's so much frequently asked questions. There's a lot there, folks. Okay, so get on there, educate yourself, have yourself live a free life, and let's tell other Americans we can restore freedom, and we can all restore America to its greatness. Have a live and let live, love and let love America once again. Okay.
Good.
We got that done. It's tight. I'm gonna be a little better on my neck.
That's a new shirt.
Yeah, I'm gaining more weight, just tight.
What are you saying? Wait, okay.
Yeah. So what happens is that you see, like, newborn babies are ugly. Newborns are ugly. Very brand new newborns are not pretty. Then they get a little older, like a few months. They start getting pretty.
You know what? I think it's about one of my...
And you get chubbier, by the way. Oh, yeah?
You know what? I think it's one of my college friends. I said, babies are ugly sometimes.
Well, that's true.
She got super offended.
Well, unfortunately, some are more attractive than others. That's a lot about that part.
You only experience good looking babies.
But they become, they get pretty, they get chubby.
Right.
They get too young, you get 1, 2, 3 years old, they get chubby, wobbly thing.
Right.
Then they get about 5, 6, 7, 6 years old, they get skinny down, 5, 6, 7.
Yep.
Then about 8, 9, 10, they become chubby again, 11, you know. And then about 11, 12, 13, you know, they start getting fitter again.
Right.
Okay. So we have this natural cycles of weight gain and loss. We become very old, like in our 90s, the famous thing, you become skin and bones, right? Your skin and bones be 900 years old, right? So your middle ages, you're supposed to gain fat. So it's just not, no matter what you do. And it's good. They found out people that in the 60s were have some chub, and they longer than the people who just came in the 60s skinny. So we have this image of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Superman, that all of our life is supposed to look like. It's a bunch of nonsense.
There's some people that, you know, live long, that's skinny.